Statement of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib. You presented the excuse regarding the Messiah that he only said, "Is it not written in your law regarding your prophets that they are gods?" so that he could extinguish the anger of the Jews. Furthermore, you also stated there that the Messiah gave such an answer by virtue of his human dimension. This statement of yours merits the attention and consideration of fair-minded people. It is clear that the Jews had asked this question citing the statement of the Messiah that, "I am the Son of God Almighty," as blasphemy, and deeming him to have, God forbid, committed blasphemy. And in reply to this question, it was without doubt the responsibility of the Messiah that if he believed himself to be the Son of God Almighty, not due to his human self but due to his divinity, then he should have openly and fully presented his claim and given them proof of his being the Son of Allah, because at that moment all they wished for was some evidence. But the Messiah did not turn his attention to this, and likening himself to other prophets gave the excuse and did not fulfill his responsibility, which a true preacher and teacher always desires to fulfill. And your statement that makhsus means holy cannot establish any distinction for the Messiah, because this word makhsus has been used in your Bible about other prophets, etc. as well. Look at Isaiah chapter 13, verse 3. And you're considering bheja hua, one who is sent, to imply divinity is also a strange translation. Look how it is written in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8, that Moses and Aaron were sent. Then in Genesis chapter 45, verse 7, it is written that God has sent me here. Then in Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 13, chapter 44, verse 4, this same verse is present. Now, should we translate these words here also to mean divinity? It is sad that you try to distort and twist the simple and straightforward statements of the Messiah to make them fit your own interpretation, and you intend to make the proof that the Messiah presented to vindicate himself appear to be useless and absurd. Could the Messiah have been held blameless in the eyes of the Jews just by saying that, "By virtue of being God, without doubt, I am indeed the Son of Allah, but by virtue of my humanity, I am equal to the other prophets, and what was said in their favor has also been said in my favor"? And could this type of flimsy excuse remove the accusation of the Jews that hung over the head of Jesus? And had they accepted that the Messiah was, without doubt, indeed the Son of Allah, by virtue of his divinity, and that they had no quarrel with this, but yes, by virtue of being human, why is he calling himself the Son of Allah? But it is manifestly clear that if in their hearts the Jews had only been concerned that the Messiah, being simply a human, is declaring himself to be the Son of Allah, like other holy and select men, then why would they have labeled him a blasphemer? Did they consider prophets Israel, Adam, and other prophets in whose favor the words Son of Allah have been applied to be guilty of blasphemy? No, indeed, their question had arisen because they too had been deceived into thinking that the Messiah in reality considers himself to be the Son of Allah. And since the answer must be provided in the context of the question being asked, it was a responsibility of the Messiah that he should adopt the same line of thinking based on which they had raised the question. If, in reality, he was the Son of God Almighty, then he should have presented before them the very prophecies that Deputy Abdullah Atham is presenting outside of these sessions. And he should have shown some examples of his being God, and the matter would have been settled. This is absolutely not the case that the Jews were not asking to be provided the proofs of him being the actual Son of Allah. At this stage, there is no need to write further regarding this. Now, let it be clear that I had written to Deputy Abdullah Atham that just as you claim that salvation is only in the Christian religion, similarly, it is written in the Quran that salvation lies only in Islam. Now, you have only presented the claim in your own words, whilst I have presented those very verses from the Holy Quran. It is clear, however, that a claim possesses no respect or regard without any proofs. Thus, it was asked that the signs of one who has attained salvation are indeed written in the Noble Quran. According to which signs, we see that those who follow this holy book indeed attain to salvation in this very life. But in your religion, the signs that the Messiah has written down for those who attain salvation, that is to say, of the true believers, where are they to be found in yourselves? For example, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it is written that, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So now I respectfully entreat you, and if there be any harshness or bitterness in these words, I seek pardon for it, that these three sick persons whom you have presented is the very sign of distinction that Jesus had specifically established for the Christians, saying that if you are true believers, then verily your distinctive mark is that you shall lay your hand upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Now forgive my audacity, but if you claim to be true believers, then here at this very moment are three sick persons presented by your very own selves. Do lay your hands upon them, and if they are healed, we will accept that you are undoubtedly true believers and have attained salvation. Otherwise, there remains no path to acceptance, since Jesus the Messiah also says that if ye have faith even as little as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove. But well, at this moment, I do not ask you to move a mountain, because they are at some distance from this place. However, this has become such an excellent opportunity, since you yourselves have already presented the sick. Now lay your hands upon them and show them to us cured. Failing this, you will be deemed to possess not even a mustard seed worth of faith. It should, however, be clear to you that this accusation cannot be leveled against us because Allah, the Lord of Glory, has not stated this in the Noble Quran to be one of our signs that specifically this indeed is your mark of distinction, that when you place your hands on afflicted people, they will be cured. He has, however, told us that I will accept your prayers in accord with my will and pleasure, and that at the very least, if a prayer is not worthy of acceptance and is against the divine purpose, then you will be informed of it. It has nowhere been said that you will be given complete authority so that you go and do as you will with all power and might. But it seems as though the Messiah gave an order and bestowed upon his followers the power and authority to cure the sick and afflicted, etc., as is written in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, this has become your responsibility, and it will certainly be a sign of your level of faith that you show us these afflicted people cured, or at least admit that you do not have even a grain of mustard seed worth of faith in yourselves. And remember that each person will be held to account according to his book. In our Noble Quran, it is nowhere written that you will be given the power to do as you wish. Indeed, it states clearly, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ, meaning that say to them that surely signs are with Allah the Exalted. Whichever sign he chooses, he manifests that very sign. His servant has no power over him that by force he should get a particular sign from him. This type of force and power is indeed found in your books, and according to you, the Messiah used to show miracles of godly power, and he had bestowed such ability upon his disciples as well. And you also believe that the Messiah is still alive, that he is the living, the self-subsisting, the all-powerful, and the knower of the unseen, and that he stays with you day and night, and he can give whatever you ask. So you should request Jesus Christ that upon your placing your hands upon these three afflicted ones, he should make them whole, so some sign of faith may remain in you. Otherwise, this is not proper that while you enter into a debate with Ahle Haq, the people of the truth, portraying yourselves as true Christians, but when the signs of true Christians are asked, you say that you lack the power to do so. By this statement, you deliver a confessionary judgment against yourselves that at this time, your religion is not a living religion. But we are ready to show signs according to what God Almighty has determined are the signs of true believers. And if we are unable to show such signs, then we are ready for any kind of punishment you wish to give. You may cut our throats with any knife you wish. And that way of manifesting signs for which we have been appointed is that when a true and perfect prophet is rejected and a contest ensues, at that time we will ask for some sign, most humbly, from God Almighty, who is our true and all-powerful God. So he, by his own will, and not as if he were our subject or under our authority, would show a sign in whatever manner he may choose. You must think over this carefully, that even Jesus the Messiah, despite all your excessive exaggeration, was unable to show any at-will signs of divine power. It is written in Mark chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him. In other words, as I am now being questioned, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign be given unto this generation. Now look, the Jews asked to be shown a sign in this same manner, but the Messiah sighed and refused to show a sign. Now look at another even stranger sort of an occasion, that when the Messiah was put on the cross, at that time the Jews said, He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Now think carefully over this verse. The Jews declared openly and swore that if he now came down from the cross, they would believe in him. But Jesus could not come down. From all these references, it is perfectly clear that showing a sign of divine power at will is not the prerogative of man. It is in fact in the hands of God. And so, similarly, at another place, the Messiah says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now look here that Jesus did not accept their request. Instead, he told them what he knew from God Almighty. Similarly, I also present what I know from God Almighty. My claim is not that I am God or that I possess the authority to manifest divine powers at will. And I am a Muslim man and follow the Holy Quran. And I claim salvation that is available based on the teachings of the Holy Quran. I do not claim to be a prophet. This is an error on your part, or you are saying this for a certain reason. Is it necessary that whosoever claims to receive revelation should also be a prophet? I, in fact, belong to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I am a perfect follower of Allah and His Messenger. And I do not wish to refer to these signs as miracles, but rather, according to my faith, these signs are called marvels that are given to one upon following Allah and His Messenger. Now, I once again complete my argumentation for the sake of calling towards the truth, that this true salvation and the blessings and fruits of true salvation are only to be found in those who follow Hazrat Muhammad, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and truly obey the commandments of the Holy Quran. And my claim, in accord with the Holy Quran, is only that if any Christian gentleman rejects this true salvation, which can be attained through the agency of the Holy Quran, then they have the right to present, in opposition to me, the heavenly signs of true salvation by asking for them from their Messiah. But for now, in accordance with the conditions of this debate, I especially addressed in this regard Deputy Abdullah Atham. This gentleman should prove that he possesses in himself the signs that are laid out by the gospel as being characteristic of a true believer. And similarly, on this side, it shall be incumbent upon me that I prove to possess in myself those signs that the noble Quran indicates are the signs of a true believer. But it should be known that the noble Quran does not bestow on us any authority to show signs at will. Indeed, our bodies tremble upon uttering any such word. We do not know what type of sign he will show. He alone is God, and there is no God beside him. Notwithstanding, yes, this is a strong vow by us, that just as Allah, the Lord of Glory, has made it clear to me that I will surely be victorious at the time of a contest, however, it is not known how exactly God shall show a sign, the only objective being that it be a sign beyond the powers of a human being. Is it necessary that a humble man should be held up to be God and a sign of divine power at will be demanded of him? This is not what our religion teaches, nor is it our belief. Allah, the Lord of Glory, promises to show us signs only in general and universal terms. If I prove false in this, I would be willing to accept any punishment that is suggested, even if it be death. But if leaving behind the bounds of justice and reasonableness, you demand from me such signs as even His Eminence, Jesus, was unable to show. Indeed, He hurled one or two abuses upon the petitioner. So even to speak of showing such signs is, in my way of thinking, tantamount to disbelief. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President representing Muslims. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President representing Christians.